Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
I want to follow this morning the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to take 30 seconds. I'm going to start my stopwatch, and I'm giving us 30 seconds because I'm not a speaker. I'm a messenger. I am a messenger, and I deliver what God gives me. So the question is this morning, is there room for Jesus this Christmas? Take 30 seconds to think about it. You can close your eyes, but think about it this morning. Am I making room for Christ this Christmas? Thank you very much. 30 seconds. I want to thank Pastor Dwight for giving me the opportunity. I want to thank the board of Dayspring for this opportunity this morning to speak. I've been speaking for a while in my life. I've never spoken on a Christmas. As the evangelist that I was portrayed to be or am, I was never given the opportunity to speak on Christmas because the pastors are always speaking. And so I don't want to be the Grinch that steals Christmas today, because the Lord has given me a message, and the message comes as a question to all of us this morning. Is there room for Jesus Christ this Christmas? See, the celebratory custom associated in various countries with Christmas have a mix of pre-Christian, Christian, and secular themes and origins. Popular modern custom of the holiday include gifts given, completing an Advent calendar or an Advent wreath, Christmas music and caroling, viewing of nativity play, an exchange of Christmas cards, church services, a special meal, and the display of various Christmas decoration, including Christmas trees, Christmas lights, nativity scenes, garlands, wreaths, mistletoes, and holly. Think for a moment. I don't see Jesus anywhere in that. In addition, several closely related and often interchangeable figures known as Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Saint Nicholas, Christkind are associated with bringing gifts to children during the Christmas season and have their own body of traditions and lore. Because gift giving and many other aspects of the Christmas festival involve heightened economic activity, the holiday has become a significant event and a key sales period for retailers and businesses. Christmas now becomes a wide economic system for retailers and businesses. Christmas now is no more about Christ, but it's about gift giving and Santa Claus and Christmas trees and the whole nine yards. Over the past few centuries, Christmas has had a steady growing of economic effect in many regions of the world. Here's my question. Where is Christ in all the Christmas celebration? Are we truly celebrating the birth of the Son of God? So I let those two questions sink in a little this morning. Where is Christ in all the Christmas celebration? Are we truly celebrating the birth of the Son of God? In spite of what religion teaches, in spite of what historian tells us, whether Christmas is the officially birth of Christ, or whether he was born in the spring, or whether he was born in April, or whether he was born in August, we chose this day to celebrate him. But where is he in our celebration? My text will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to register, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. She was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. There was no room for the Messiah, the Creator. There was no room for Mary to have her firstborn son. And if you know the significance of a firstborn son in the Middle East, it's very significant, because they would be the heir of everything that the family possesses. They would be next in line when the father passes. And if the sisters are not married, they would be the one to take care of the sister. And if the father passed away, they would be the one to take care of their mother. But it's not only now that there was no room for Jesus Christ. Today, we see it everywhere. People don't have time for Jesus anymore. Time is important, and God's timing is always the perfect timing. See, Caesar Augustus, whose given name was Octavian, ruled the Roman Empire from 27 BC to AD 14. Prior to his time, Rome was a republic ruled by a Senate. The Roman Senate gave Augustus supreme authority as emperor, and the republic became an empire. Augustus secured the empire's borders and established the Pax Romana, which is Roman peace, a period of unprecedented stability and prosperity in the Mediterranean world. A census registered the people for tax purposes. So since Joseph was a descendant of King David, he returned to David's home town of Bethlehem, a tiny village in Judea, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, where Micah predicted that the Messiah would be born. What is happening, you ask? I'm glad you asked that. Because Isaiah 55 verse 9 said, "For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Somebody might be saying this morning, if God was so great, why wouldn't he allow Jesus, his only begotten, to be born in Jerusalem, the city or the center of the universe? You see, even though Jesus himself was the creator of all things, yet he came in the lowest of places to show his humility. In verse 6 and 7, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough." I want to ask all you mothers this morning, how did you feel about your first pregnancy? How did you feel? Was there a moment of bliss, tranquility? Was there this great anticipation? Was there joy to know that this is my first child? Oh, I can't wait. But you see, they took Jesus to Judea, Bethlehem in particular, where shepherds, it was a farming community, away from everything. It was away from everything. In that place where the Messiah was born, you have to understand that there were no 5-star hospitals. There were no five-star Airbnb. There were no five-star motels or guest houses in Bethlehem. And you are asking, why did God choose Bethlehem? God chose Bethlehem because he made a promise that had to be fulfilled. So whatever it is that God has promised you, hold on, it will be fulfilled. The promise and the prophecy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it reads, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That was the first mention of the coming Messiah. You see, from the very beginning, right after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, he gave indication that a savior would be coming from the seed of the woman, Eve. God revealed right away that the seed would be the one that would crush the head of the serpent. He would be the seed pointed to Jesus. Moses is credited as the author of the book of Genesis. The time of his writing isn't 100% certain, but it is estimated to be about 1,500 years before the birth of Christ. Is this a promise? Is this a prophecy about the Messiah? Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. But is there room for Emmanuel? Look around you today in your homes. Look around you when you go to work. Look around you when you're taking the transit. Is there room for Emmanuel? I'm going to ask that question again. Is there room for Emmanuel? Micah 5 verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judea, out of you will become, or out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origin from of old, from ancient times. We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and this scripture tells us in advance the place Jesus would be born. This prophecy was written by Micah approximately 800 years before the Christ. This is the scripture that I want us to focus on today. Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles will lie along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warriors and the uniform bloodstained by war will all be burned. There will be fuel for fire, for a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, hallelujah, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule in fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. You see, these names can be read as four throne names. Signifying the nature of his rule. The Wonderful Counselor conforms to God's wisdom. Christ is our counselor because he is omniscient. He knows all things. It doesn't matter what our situation is. We can run to the Wonderful Counselor, and he understands everything. The Bible said he came as a man born of a woman. He understands our weaknesses. The Bible said he knows every aspect of our lives, but is there room for the Wonderful Counselor? His name shall be called the Mighty God, in affirmation of the Messiah's divine nature. He is God in the flesh. He is El Shaddai, the Mighty God in the flesh. He is God, the Supreme One, this morning. Yet he came in the flesh to redeem us. He cared for his children as the everlasting Father, the Father whose cares continues forever. It doesn't matter, people of God, what the situation is. God cares for you. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And the Prince of Peace, he is a leader who brings peace. What is happening this Christmas? Is there anxiety? Is there fear? Are there pressures? Are they worrying? What is happening this Christmas? Why there is no room for Messiah? Is it the burden of buying gifts and you can't see the finances? You don't know where it's coming from, so you run to the piece of card that you're going to have to pay back in January, and you don't know where the funds are going to be coming from? Why not give the Prince of Peace room so he can bring peace to your homes, to your marriages, to your lives. You see, Christmas is not about buying gifts and spoiling people. Christmas is about Christ. But we are moving slowly away from the true meaning of Christmas. But we here at Dayspring will always keep the focus on Christ, because without Christ, there is no Christmas. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. So we talk about the misconception and expectation and the disappointment. Religious leaders and most of the people of Israel were expecting Christ to come and free them from the oppression of the Romans, and that he would come and place upon and come into a place of a palace to the rich and wealthy. But Matthew 1, 21 and 22 says, and he and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. You see, the pressures of the Romans wasn't the cause Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy. Sin. That's why he came. That's what Matthew says here. You see, all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. The fulfillment and the reality. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and they were in the same country. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. They were in country. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel says unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, hallelujah, a Savior, which is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Hallelujah. Are you praising God this Christmas? Is there room to praise this Christmas? Is there room for worship? Is there room for the glory of God in your homes this Christmas? This is the message that God gives me for this Christmas. They were saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards man. Is there room for Jesus? Is there room for Jesus? For those of you who are dating, is there room? Can you find place? For a room for Jesus. For marriage couples, is there room for Christ? For singles, is there room for Christ this Christmas? And for the children, is there room for the Messiah? And for those of you online who are not saved this morning, is there room for Christ? In closing, my question to you today, as you go about your busy life, do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? You see, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true, oh God. This morning, we talk about surrender in pre-service prayer. May everything you said about me come true. And the angel left her because she surrendered. The angel left her because she said, yes, yes, I have room for Jesus. Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? You see, in our society, they have removed Christ out of most institutions. They've removed him out of our schools, and now problem begins in our schools. And they're blaming the board of trustees. They're blaming governments. But don't blame the governments. Blame yourself, the man in the mirror. Because if you were praying, these things wouldn't have happened. So they remove him out of the institution in our nation. They have even removed him out of most of our churches. Christ! There is no room for Christ in our churches today. Because it's all about money, and it's all about the programs, and it's all about the big shirts. It's no more about Christ. It's about names and titles. While people are dying and going to a devil's hell, they remove Christ from churches. And I close with this morning. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Can you hear him? Do you have room for Jesus? Because he's knocking. You don't have to make much preparation for him. Just open the door. He will come in just the way your house is. He would not pay attention or notice whatever has gone wrong. He will just walk in because he wants fellowship. Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? Hear this, and I close. There is room at the cross for you.